Announcements coming your way. Yeah. Hey friends, it's Heather Avis here. Okay, before we get into this episode, I have a few announcements. First and foremost, the Lucky Few Foundation, guess what? We are going to be hitting the road for 5 weeks, but all five of the Avises are going to be on the road. One of those stops is going to be in New Orleans at the Down Syndrome Congress Convention, and we are so excited. That's June 25th and 26th. Hey, if you're going to be at the convention, come say hi. I'm going to be signing books. We're going to be taking pictures. We're going to be hearing stories. We're so excited to meet you if you're going to be there. And if you want to learn more about how you can get involved with this tour, we still need so much help in so many ways. Head over to theluckyfewfoundation.org to learn more. And last announcement, this is for all the mamas in the space. Hey, mamas in the space, say hey. Hey. Do you need a respite? Yes. Yes, I do. Thank you so much for asking. Great. Well, guess what? This August, the 26th, 27th, and 28th is going to be our first ever Lucky Mamas Retreat in Southern California. It's going to be in San Diego County, hosted by myself and Liz Plakta from Ruby's Rainbow. And we are bringing our flagship Lucky Mamas Retreat to the beautiful Oaks Retreat Center in Ramona, California, which is just outside San Diego. This is an all-inclusive retreat. You show up Friday evening. You don't have to worry about one thing until you go home Sunday. And then hopefully you still don't have to worry because you're so refreshed and ready to face the week. It's going to be such an amazing time. You're going to get to be there with other Lucky Mamas. We're going to get to connect, swap stories, reflect, relax. You have time on your own, time together, really whatever you want to do. We're going to feed you good food and delicious beverages, and you're going to really have an opportunity to create long-lasting friendships. Sounds amazing, right? If you would like to come to our Southern California Lucky Mamas Retreat, you can go to heatheravis.com/events, learn more, and sign up there. All right, now on to our episode.
Started.
We are officially in the summer. Mike is not, Mercedes is, and I'm all alone here. Summertime vibes. Josh, insert summertime music. All right, friends, enough of that. Let's shout some worth and let's shift the narrative for people with Down syndrome. Father's Day is around the corner. We love our dads in this community. And we are grateful to have a particular dad on. His name is Rick Smith. Rick Smith started a blog years ago called knowwithdad.com. You might be familiar with that. He's also founder and president of Hope Story and the father of Noah, a young man with Down syndrome. This is a really great conversation, and I'm grateful that you're here, listeners. Welcome to the Lucky Few podcast. Before we get into our interview with Rick here, I'm going to read a review. This is from S&P 2009. And this person said, "Thank you for teaching me that showing up with my daughter is enough. I have learned to love her more through your podcast, and I appreciate your real selves that show up each week to share your experience with us. Thank you." Oh my gosh. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for being encouraged. We're so grateful that we've been able to encourage you, and you are doing such a great job. If you are a listener and you haven't written a review for the podcast, don't forget to do that wherever you get your podcast, and then maybe we'll read it aloud next week. We love to read these, and we appreciate you guys and your support so, so much. All right, friends. So I am here with Rick Smith. You might have seen him on Instagram as knowisdad.com and even way before Instagram, which we'll talk about that a little bit. Or maybe you know about all the wonderful things he's doing with Hope Story. He is a father, he is an advocate, and we are so happy that he's here with us today. Rick, welcome to the Lucky Few podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, it worked out. We met at an event with 99 Balloons. That was our first in-person introduction. That was a while ago, 2019?
Yeah. No, 99 okay. Balloons is awesome. Yeah, I think it was 2019. Right before everything in our world changed.
Yep. Yeah. And that was great. And I feel like since then, I've been wanting you on the podcast. So tell our listeners, I'm sure most of our listeners are very familiar with you and with noahsdad.com, but give us a little bit of background, who you are, where you are, your family, your career, all those good things.
Yeah. Well, so my name is Rick Smith, not just Noah's dad. I'm Jackson's dad and Cohen's dad. We have three sons. Noah is our first son. And so started that website, noahsdad.com, when Noah was our only son, which was about a little over 11 years ago. And the reason that blog started, yeah, I mean, it's funny. I don't even think Instagram was around, maybe mm-hmm. Facebook. Facebook was around. But the reason we started that blog, one of the reasons that we started that blog was we had a really negative experience with Noah's his Down syndrome diagnosis. We had a really bad experience. So my wife is a pediatrician here in Dallas, sees a lot of kids with Down syndrome and in the Dallas area. And she was in medical school and actually in residency when we were pregnant. She was pregnant with Noah and she had high blood pressure. And so we were going in for her to get induced and, they tried to induce her and Noah was not coming out. And so they said, hey, we're going to do a C-section. And up until that point, we had no idea that Noah had Down syndrome. I really had no experience with Down syndrome. And, they delivered Noah, they did a C-section, delivered Noah. Everything seemed 100% typical. And then it's when it's got weird. So they said, hey, can you turn your back to your wife? Abby was laying on the delivery bed. And they said, can you turn your back to your wife? And we're going to back Noah into you like a dump truck and let you hold him so we can take a picture of you and Noah. My first son. So I was like, I had no idea. I didn't think that was normal. So what was happening was they didn't want Abby to look at Noah's face. They didn't want Abby to make a diagnosis in by herself in the delivery room. So they would not let Abby hold her son, her firstborn son, after he was born. Whoa. Because they didn't want her to make the diagnosis. So we have this picture of us where we're in the delivery room. My back is turned to Abby. Abby's behind me. They back Noah into me. We take the little delivery room picture and then they whisk Noah off and never let Abby hold Noah.
Well, and really, it's your first kid. So first you son. Don't know what's like, you're not, you're like, okay, is this a thing? Right. Like you don't know what to do when it's your first kid. It's all new. Everything's new.
Yep. And then they told us they were giving Noah a bath and they, our OBGYN left the hospital, didn't really talk to us at all, just left. And maybe she did a little bit of pleasantries, but she literally just left the hospital. They said they were giving him a bath and hours went by and we thought, man, this is the longest bath in the history of baths. Like, what's going on? So what they were doing was the hospital, and this is a major hospital, and I actually pulled this picture up. This is the picture of us. There's Abby in the background and they did not let Abby even look at Noah's face.
Wow.
And so that's our first picture of Noah. One of our first pictures.
Oh, he's so cute. Look how cute he is there with his
face. And so what they were doing, Heather, was they were stalling so that our pediatrician could come to the hospital and break the news to us. Mm. And so basically the OBGYN punted and then had the pediatrician come in and do the hard work and have the tough conversation with us. And then the next day, our OBGYN came in. And one of the first things that she said to us, literally while other parents, around at least one other parent next to us, near us, was getting congratulations. One of the first things our OBGYN said was, I'm so sorry. Followed by an offer to give my wife antidepressants.
Whoa. And so,
yes. And so they wrote that in her chart. And so periodically, medical staff would come in and ask Abby kind of like, hey, do you want your medicine? Do you want that medicine? And she's like, what is going on? I'm just trying to process. I just found out my kid has Down syndrome. Like, I don't think I'm depressed. I think I'm just, you know, I have some feelings right now. And that was sort of our first exposure into this world of Down syndrome. And so, yeah, I mean, shortly after that, we started, you know, learning all the things that you learn, many of the things that you learn when your child has Down syndrome. You learn about how many parents don't want kids like Noah. Mm. You learn about how the world thinks our kids are less than oftentimes. And at the same time, we were raising Noah. We thought, man, this isn't really that much different than, we don't have another child to compare it to, but it seems a lot just like parenthood. Mm. And so we just started this blog. And the idea was we were just going to share our experiences on the blog to help maybe encourage someone to show people what life was like, to have a window into what life is like raising a child with Down syndrome. And so that's kind of how it started.
Wow. And then the blog, I mean, it started, and then it, I feel like noahsdad.com became a household name within the Down syndrome space, and it grew, and you have a platform on different social media spaces, but I think Facebook especially. So what was that journey like for you?
Yeah. So I think, you know, we just started sharing a story. It did grow. We, one of the things that happened was, and someone sent me an ad probably 2012, 2011, and it was an ad from Target. And the ad from Target had a child with Down syndrome in the ad. And I wrote a blog post and said something like 10 things Target said without saying anything at all. And just sort of wrote a blog post about that ad, and just like, I appreciated the ad. You know, I know your children have been in some ads, and like, I appreciated that they didn't make the ad about a kid with Down syndrome. They're just like a cool kid in a Target ad. He didn't have a shirt on that said like, I'm a special kid. There wasn't some arrow that says right. Target loves special kids. And I wrote about it. And then I was on Twitter before Twitter was super cool. And I tweeted it, and think I like, maybe @Target. And I think Target might've retweeted it. Adweek picked it up. Mm, and then okay. we were on news. Yeah. And so literally, to people that have blogs and things like that, it's like, just keep going. Cause you really never know when someone's going to pick up something that you write, and that's going to spark some sort of conversation, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's so interesting. Okay. And then over the years, you have journeyed towards Hope Story. And so I really want to talk about Hope Story, because I think that our listeners who aren't familiar, there's such a tangible way, you know, we talk about shifting the Down syndrome narrative, and I know that's a huge part of what Hope Story is all about. So can you share more about Hope Story and what that's about, what you guys are doing with Hope Story?
Yeah, I'd love to. So I have worked in the nonprofit space for many years, and in 2012-ish, around there. Yeah. So some years back, I was finishing grad school and took a job at a large nonprofit in the Dallas area. And around that time, I had this idea of, man, why do so many parents, because we were blogging, we were connecting with people on the internet, and you learn about how many parents have similar experiences to ours, where they had a negative experience. And you just sort of go, man, why is it that parents across the country have a negative experience? So many of them have a negative experience with their diagnosis experience. And so, you know, my wife, again, is a pediatrician. We do have a lot of friends that are doctors. And what I came to the conclusion of is, there are really two big problems, I think, that I thought, boy, how can I help solve? And the problems are, many medical professionals don't get specific training in medical school on how to deliver a Down syndrome diagnosis. So they just kind of get put into this world. Their career gets going, and they got to kind of figure out on their own how they're going to deliver this news that is a little bit unique in their profession. So that's one piece. And then the majority of medical professionals, my conclusion is that they don't know anyone with Down syndrome. They don't know a Noah. They've never met anyone right. with Down syndrome. So you got lack of training, lack of personal experience, but yet you're giving families this really life-changing news. And I just thought, boy, how can we try to help solve those two problems? And so we said, hey, we've got this, you know, almost 250,000 people that follow our page. What if it'd be really awesome if instead of just liking a photo, sharing a photo, commenting on one of my photos and my story, bringing them hope, what if I can help them somehow use their story to bring hope to people where they live in their mm-hmm. communities? And so what, you know, how can I mobilize these people? So yeah, in 2018, we started an organization called Hope Story. And the ultimate idea was we wanted to connect every OBGYN in America to a family raising a child with Down syndrome so that they, one, could get some training resources, and two, they could actually hear firsthand from a parent of a child with Down syndrome. So we developed a medical advisory board, we developed a parent advisory board, and then we developed a board of directors, and we said, okay, we're gonna get all these really amazing people together, and we're gonna come up with some resources and a program to help medical professionals learn what it's like raising a child with Down syndrome, but ultimately so that parents who got that new diagnosis could have a better experience. And so long story short, the way it works is a family raising a child with Down syndrome, like me or you or anybody listening to this who has a child with Down syndrome in America who's at least 1 year old, because that first year you're still trying to learn yourself what it's like raising a child with Down syndrome. So you sign up to become a hope advocate, you give us some information, you upload some photos, you tell us about your child, and then you get this hope kit in the mail. And we have hundreds of hope kits around the hope advocates around the country. And what's inside the hope kit is what's really cool. So you open up the hope kit and you get this little cool, like, how getting started guide. This kind of tells you what to do. And inside, you get this medical professional folder. And what we ask families to do is deliver this to either your child's pediatrician or your OBGYN at your annual woman's visit, that you give this to them. And here's what's awesome about it. So if you've ever been to a pediatrician's office, on the wall often, or an OBGYN's office, is all of these birth announcements. You seldom see people with Down syndrome on the wall being celebrated. They're definitely not front and center. So when you make your hope kit, you get to make these really cool cards. And so this is like your child's info would be here. Like, this says Noah. And on the back, it tells us a little bit about Noah. And when you go into your doctor's office, you just say, hey, I'm a hope advocate. I have a hope kit. This is my son, Noah. And I just want to tell you a little bit about him. It just says, hey, here's one activity that he enjoys. Here's something I want you to know about raising a child with Down syndrome. And here's one achievement that we are proud of from this year. And this just helps kind of personalize Down syndrome to the doctor. Then you get these really cool cards. We call these Hope Advocate contact cards. I'll block out my wife's cell phone number so everybody doesn't call her. But these have your picture on it, your child's picture on it, your contact information. And the idea is that when your medical professional delivers a Down syndrome diagnosis to a mom in the area, that they can pass along your card and say, hey, you know what? Abby Smith is a Hope Advocate here in Dallas. She has a child with Down syndrome. His name is Noah. She's local. When you feel ready to, reach out to her. You can email her, you can call her. She'd love to just talk with you and share a little bit about her story. Inside that folder, we also have this how to deliver a Down syndrome diagnosis. This isn't really rocket science information. Right. It's just how to be a nice person, basically. You know, when you're talking to someone, some really cool tips for doctors. And then this preferred language guide helps doctors, you know, talk about this. And then something really, really cool is that when we received Noah's diagnosis, we were given this really outdated, opposite of encouraging pamphlet from the hospital that looked like it was designed in the 70s by like a junior high art class. And so we just thought, man, how can we create a resource that really encourages parents? What would be a resource that we would have wanted to get?
Yeah.
So we came up with this booklet called Hope Stories, Encouragement and Answers for Parents of Children with Down Syndrome. And it just tells stories of families of kids with Down syndrome. And it answers things like, what about sibling relationships? What about friendships? What is it like if your child goes to the NICU? What about adults with Down syndrome? So questions that, new parents may have.
Yeah.
This is our friend Blake. He owns his own snow cone stand here in Texas. And we have these booklets in English and in Spanish for Spanish-speaking families. And these are free of charge for doctors. So doctors can get these, give them out to families. And then two last cool things. You also get this really cool folder for yourself with some really nice resources in it. One of the things that you're going to find in this folder is if you sign up to become a Hope Advocate, one day we hope you get contacted by a new parent. Mm-hmm. And one day we hope you get to go meet their baby that they bring to full term. And if you go to Target or Walmart or wherever, and you try to find a congratulations card specifically for someone who just had a child with Down syndrome, you're not going to find it. So we worked with an artist who has Down syndrome to design this really cool congratulations card that you get the chance. It doesn't come from Hope Story. It doesn't. You get to give it to that family and say congratulations. And then you get this really cool, like, Hope Advocate shirt just that you can rock to say, hey, I'm a Hope Advocate. And the idea is really you get to use your story. It's not about Hope Story. It's not about anything. It's about you using your story to help other families. And we have Hope Advocates who have signed up in every state in the United States. I think we have over 600 who have signed up across the country. And all the time, often we get, or occasionally we'll hear from families who, they have delivered this material to their doctor and their doctor loved it. Their doctor thought it was a great idea. Also, we will occasionally get emails from families who have come across our materials and they say, hey, you know what? I live in the Anaheim area. I just found out my kid's going to have Down syndrome. Can you help me? Mm-hmm. And we can look in our database and say, hey, you know what? We actually have a Hope Advocate where you live. We'd love to connect you. And then we make the connection to the family, to the Hope Advocate, and they get a chance just to be a friend to someone in their area.
So good. So good. It's so important and helpful, but I love too how empowering it is. Like, it empowers the families. I love that. Like, your story matters. What you've experienced matters. You can show up in this space. Also, families are empowered, then it empowers medical providers. Like, actually, you can do this well. Like, you can offer hope to your patients. It's so good. It's just so good. So how then, someone listening right now, who I hope it's everybody, how do you become a Hope Advocate?
All right. So for you guys, because we love the lucky few, our cost on these Hope Advocates is, these Hope Kits are not cheap. It's a really cool shirt, Bella and canvas. So if you give someone a t-shirt, you don't ever want to give them a cheap t-shirt. If anybody ever gives me a t-shirt and it's Hanes, you're out. And so you're canceled. So nice t-shirt, you get a nice t-shirt, you get customized printed material, and they're not cheap for us. But we put together a promo code for you guys, the lucky few. If you go to hopestory.org and you click on existing parent, you'll see a nice little video up top. You can watch it. Tells you a little bit more. And you click on become a Hope Advocate. You sign up to become a Hope Advocate. And on the last page, if you put the promo code the lucky few in there, you'll get the Hope Kit totally for free. And we just ask that you help us with shipping. I think we even just ask you for $5 to help with shipping.
Amazing.
And if that's a problem for you, send us an email. We'll be happy to even help with that. And that's good all the way till September the 1st. And then one other cool thing that we're doing is we just did our first medical professional dinner. So if you go to hopestory.org, click on blog, you go to you'll see the medical professional dinner. We have a cool video on there. But what we're going to be doing is our hope is to do these dinners across the country where we invite medical residents to have dinner with Hope Advocates, families raising kids with Down syndrome, to allow these new doctors to get to have a curated experience with families like us so that they can just learn what it's like raising a child with Down syndrome so they can take that into their career moving forward. And so if you're a Hope Advocate and we host one in your city, you'll be one of the first people also that get called to be a part of these dinners that we're doing.
That's awesome. And yes, running an organization like this, not just the cost of materials, but everything's very... costs a lot of money. There's a lot involved. And I'm assuming people on the website can also donate across the board.
Yep.
Very cool. Very cool. I'm so glad that you guys are putting this out in the world. What are some of the stories that, like, more specifically, what's the story that you want medical professionals to have?
Yeah. So I think is this. I think that we were just at, ACOG, which is a big conference for OBGYNs, and it was in San Diego. We were just there. Hope Story had a booth there. And we had a chance to talk and connect with OBGYNs from really around the world. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting because I think so many OBGYNs, when they think about Down syndrome, they think this is a really sad story, maybe similar to like giving someone a cancer diagnosis. And I get it. I can understand where they're coming from. And I want to assume the best that they think, man, this is a really sad story. This is some bad news. And I think what we want to help doctors understand is that having a child with Down syndrome isn't a sad story. It's just a different story. Mm-hmm. And different stories aren't sad stories. They're just different. And that's okay. And so I think by connecting families to doctors, we can help do that because every parent has a child with Down syndrome. In a sense, they are an expert at their child. They're an expert at their story. And so when they get to go in and say, hey, Dr. So-and-so, let me just tell you about Noah, man. Right now, as I'm talking, he's at a trampoline park with a bunch of his buddies and they're jumping around. We're not, his mom or his dad isn't even with them. He's hanging out with his friends and it's all good. And so as you are sharing this news with your patients, please don't make this like a cancer diagnosis. Like, don't act like it's the end of the world. It's just a different story. And so we want doctors to know that it's not a sad story. It's a different story. And there's a whole world of support out there to help families. They're not alone. There's a whole community out there. And so let's get people, you know, relationships and resources. And I think the greatest resource that you can give another parent is another parent, a friend.
For sure. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that completely. So good. Okay, we're going to shift the conversation a little bit because we're getting ready to celebrate Father's Day. And you are a dad. And I, for our listeners, we are very mother-driven because there's three of us on the podcast who are all moms. But we love dads. We love all the parents and caregivers. So I want to talk a little bit about fatherhood and raising a child with Down syndrome and having a son. So they hand you this, you shared your story at the beginning of Noah being born, and then you get the diagnosis as the dad. Were there like some father-son relationship expectations that you had to work through early on or even like throughout your journey as a father?
Yeah, great question. And so, you know, when we had Noah, I didn't know what it was like, one, to be a dad, he was our first kid, and two, what it was like having to be a dad of a child with Down syndrome. And so what I say and what I tell new parents is what I had to do was mourn the loss of my imaginary child. I think what we do as parents is even when our kids are in the womb, but especially when they're in their womb, but when they're babies, we like craft this idea of what our kid's going to be like, right? He's going to look like this. He's going to do this. He's going to play this sport. He's going to, you know, maybe go off to college. He's going to marry this person. And we literally create this imaginary human. And I would say 100 out of 100 times that imaginary human isn't real. That person's never going to exist except in your mind. And so before Noah, yeah, I had this idea of like, hey, this is what my son's going to be like. This is what we're going to do. And when he had Down syndrome, I was like, man, this kid never existed, but I've made this kid so real in my head that that's kind of my bad. Because this was just a made up kid. And so simultaneously, while I was mourning the loss of this imaginary kid, I was falling in love. I mean, I would love this kid that I actually had. And so I would say, yeah, I would say for just parents in general is, and then with our second child and our third child, I think I was more careful and more intentional of, instead of saying, hey, God, you know, help, I want my kid to be just like this, saying, hey, God, let me be okay with whatever you got in store for me. Give me the strength to roll with whatever you got. And regardless of if your kid has Down syndrome or not, I think as a parent, that's just good advice to go, hey, you know what? My kid's not going to be the kid that I'm imagining them to be. And let me just roll with it. Let me have the strength and the courage to love them unconditionally and be their champion, no matter what they end up being like. And so, yeah. So I think that, I mean, that's kind of where I am, where I was, is I, you know what, there's this kid that I made up in my mind. I had to mourn him and had to accept Noah. I say had to accept. I mean, I got to accept him. It wasn't for me. I loved Noah the moment I saw him. So it wasn't like I was in denial or what. I loved him. And it was just like, I think learning, okay, what does it mean for a child to have Down syndrome? And, yeah, what's that relationship going to be like? And I think I'm still learning right now at 11 years old, you know, what that's going to be like.
Yeah.
But I love them, you know, and I have three kids and they're all different and they all love doing different things and it's all good. You know, you just kind of roll with what God has given you and you're thankful for what God has given you. And, you know, being a parent is such a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a good way to look at it and think about it. I often wonder, I think that so much of parenting is like a releasing of expectations and a releasing of projecting onto our children who we want and expect them to be, because they're all going to be their own person. And I think those of us who have children with Down syndrome early on, we're almost forced into that. Like every parent will have moments.
Yeah.
Maybe a big defining moment at some point in time when their child identifies a certain way or is goes so far from what the parent feels and wants and desires. But I think that's so much of parenthood is that like a releasing. And I've always felt super grateful to need to release earlier because it was going to happen, you know, like to need to know how to release my expectations and just embrace but these incredible human beings that we get to raise.
Yeah, for sure.
So then what as I have a question about advocacy, because my experience has been in the Down syndrome space that I see mostly moms out advocating, not all, but a lot of moms out advocating. And there's more like retreats for moms and like mom things. And we don't have to get like gender stereotypes here, but Noah's Dad.com felt like you were one of few dads who were in the blogging space at all and in that advocacy space. And not that dads aren't advocating, but I find that when we step into these rooms of like leaders and advocates for Down syndrome, it is mostly female. Has that been your experience? And why do you think that is? Or what's been your experience there?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things. I think, I don't want to get super deep, but I think a lot of times moms are, and one, there are a lot of amazing dads out there.
For sure.
And there are a lot of amazing dads that are on our social media. Yeah. I'm friends with many of them and you'll never know their names, but they are here in Dallas, Texas and other places and they are crushing it. And so I think a lot of dads don't use social media. I was a tech geek, before I had Noah. So that was sort of my wheelhouse. I also think that, I think there are a lot of dads who need to step up. I think there are a lot of dads who let the moms kind of do all the advocating and do all the things. And I do think there is, I do think dads especially that we have an important role in our family and we have an important role with our kids and that. You know, the shot clock, so to speak, of being a dad where your kids are young and you're pouring into them, that shot clock is going by quickly. And so for me, just to be a little vulnerable, my dad was an alcoholic. My dad and mom divorced when, you know, I'd left the house at that point. But I did not have a good model of a father growing up. And so as I progressed through life, I was thankful to have other men in my life that kind of showed me, hey, this is what a good dad was like. And so for me, especially, I did not want to repeat my family tree of having my kids have a bad dad. And so I almost overcorrect in that, man, I love being a dad. And so I want my kids to grow up knowing that it is manly to have a dad who says, man, I love you. I'm proud of you. I want to encourage you. I want to be your champion. That's not a weak dad. That's not like, that's what good dads do is they encourage their kids. They love them. And so for me, really from the get-go, I wanted to have the opposite of what I had growing up. And I wanted my kids to live in an environment where they had a dad who was fun to be around and a dad who they respected and a dad who loved the heck out of them. And so I think, you know, for me, I understand the importance of, you know, kids and their dads and kids and their family. And again, not to get into all the off rails that we could go on this topic, but I think it's important if you're a father and you have children to be involved in their life, you know, hang out with them, be cool, be fun, go to Disneyland with them. Like I see Josh doing, like go to the trampoline park. Like these days are clicking by quickly. And I will tell you, when your kids are 18 and 21, you're not going to wish that you would have spent one more hour watching the Lakers play on TV. You're going to wish you had another hour to go back in time and play with your kids in the backyard. Mm-hmm. And so I want to maximize those moments, and I want to see other dads doing it. And I know that there are dads doing it. And so just because you don't see them on social media doesn't mean they're not. But I also know from hearing stories of people that I've interacted with that, you know, sometimes dads can, think that being a great dad is working 100 hours a week and being the breadwinner. And, you know, they don't get to see their kids a lot because they're working. And, I know everyone's family situation is different, but I think as much as possible, if you're a dad, boy, man, you really want to take advantage of being able to pour in and invest in your kids, because the time is counting down and your kids spell love, T-I-M-E, time. And so they just want to be with you. And yeah. So, you know. And also, I want to add to one thing, like, and I know you probably maybe experience this sometimes, but social media is really such a bad, it can be such a trap, you know, because we compare instead of celebrate. And so what happens oftentimes is, well, man, I see Noah's dad, they're always going, people will say this to me sometimes, you guys are always on vacation. How are you always on vacation? I'm like, look, I'm actually always almost at my house. Like, but. Like, just right. Because you see pictures of me at Disney World doesn't mean I'm always at Disney World. It just means you probably don't want to see a bunch of pictures of me sitting around my house right. on the couch. Like, and I say that to say that don't compare what I'm doing or what Heather's doing or what anybody's doing and feel down on yourself because you're not doing the exact same things. Instead, celebrate what you get to do with your kids. I mean, last week we were at a park walking around. It was free. It didn't cost any money. We packed a lunch and went to a nature trail. And so any ways that you can find, sometimes I get pushback and they say, people will say, well, man, I can't afford to go to these places that you take your kids to. Well, a lot of times we're just hanging out in our neighborhood. And so I encourage you, no matter if you're a mom or a dad, you know, look for great ways to make memories with your kids. And it doesn't have to take a lot of money to make memories with your kids. Just get out there and go for a walk around the block. Like, again, time yep. is the currency.
Yeah, that's great. And that was, I feel like as soon as we open up a conversation around any kind of gender role, it's a tricky conversation. It's very nuanced. It's very layered. It's very individualized. So thank you for taking on that question. And, and advocacy in and of itself, I think, as a parent in the Down syndrome space is also nuanced and different. And with adding in things like social media and what you see and what you don't see. And yeah, like we could go on and on, like the celebrityism within advocacy spaces, which is like, that's not helpful. And the people who are advocating who don't have the same resources, but are working so hard within their sphere, it's like, there's not one right way to do this. There's a million right ways to do this. And just, yeah, an encouragement. I think you are an encouragement to dads to see, yes, in a public sphere, dads advocate too. And I know I'm not putting dads down, friends who are listening. I don't want anyone to hear that. Dads advocate too. And the advocacy from a dad is so important and imperative. And you're doing that. I was going to say very well. There's not, you are doing it well.
Thank you.
It's a tricky conversation. You know what I mean? Everyone.
Yeah. And you know what? To that, I just, one thing I will say, it's funny. I even thought about it as I was like typing up some notes today for this podcast is like, we've also got to be so great about showing each other grace and not beating each other up. Cause I wrote down on here, like typical kids versus kids with Down syndrome. And I thought, wait a minute, are you even allowed today to say typical kids? Is there some other phrase that you have to use? And just saying like, man, we got to show more grace with each other, right? Mm-hmm. And just be kind to one another. It's so easy to, you know, what's so funny about being on social media is you can post, and I know you know this, like you can post 99 things that people love. And then if your son's seatbelt is 1 inch from where other parents think your son's seatbelt should be, man, you're the worst parent in the world. And you're just like, guys, lay off. Like, just, assume the best. I really believe we are better together, and like we're better when we're like not beating each other up and nitpicking each other. And I just think that is that's the win right there, is just assume the best about others. And when you see someone on vacation, instead of like finding a way to, you know, be jealous of their vacation, say, hey, that looks awesome that you guys are in wherever. Awesome. Tell me about it. Instead of like making them feel bad, and just, man, just being kind to other people is always the win, and assuming the best. And when someone uses a word, or your kid doesn't have a life jacket on somewhere that you think they should, like, just relax. Like, just relax. Man, people go bonk. Anytime people can find one thing to go in on, they do. And that's just not helpful, I don't feel like, you know? So little things are coming to my TED Talk.
Yeah. That's funny. It's so very true. I always expect people in our kids' lives to assume the best about them. And we all just need to be assuming the best about each other. And then also be willing. My other thing is like, I need to be willing to be wrong too, because there are things that need to be corrected. And there are things that it's like, yes, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I made a mistake. But that whole idea, like, whatever, sugar is better than vinegar, or I don't know, like, just, yeah, let's have conversations. Let's talk about these things. Let's all be learners, but let's come at it assuming that I wasn't trying to be a jerk, or I wasn't trying to, whatever the assumption is, you know, like, come at it as, oh, I made a mistake because I haven't learned this yet. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Even with car seatbelts, gosh, the amount of times I've been reprimanded on car seats. And we're just trying to do our best, you know, getting all those kids in cars. I want my kid to be safe in a car. Okay. So we're going to wrap it up here, because I feel like that you've given us so much good information, and I'm grateful for you sharing your time. Thank you for starting and sharing Hope Story and inviting the listeners to be a part of that, and inviting all of us to be a part of that. And then thank you for sharing so candidly about being a dad and your experience there. We really appreciate the work that you've done and the years that you've put so much out into the world for our community, for people with Down syndrome. Before we go though, so where can listeners find you? And then again, the best way to sign up to be a Hope Advocate. And I already said it, and we will have links in our show notes.
Yeah, great. Thanks. NoahsDad.com, Instagram, and Facebook. And then also, if you follow Hope Story, HopeStory.org, you can go, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. You can also go to HopeStory.org, click on Existing Parent, and right at the top, you'll see a video. Watch that video. Then click Become a Hope Advocate. And I'd really love, if you have a child with Down syndrome, I would love to do whatever I can do to get you to become a Hope Advocate so you can, you know, make a difference in your community. You're probably already making a difference in your community, so this just supplements the great stuff you're probably already doing. And I've just put the Lucky Few promo code in there, and that'll knock it down to $5 to help us with shipping. If that's a problem, just hit the contact button on our page and we'll help you with that also. And lastly, I do want to just say that, you know, if you're a parent of a child with Down syndrome, you don't have to have a huge social media following. You don't have to have sponsored posts. You don't have to. That's one bad thing, I think, about all the social media world that we live in, is you think, like, in order to be successful, right, I have to do X. Like, being successful, being faithful, being a good advocate a lot of times looks like, you know, inviting a new mama over to your house and a new dad over to your house for dinner, or meeting a new mom at the park with her kid and just hanging out, or inviting a new mom to the new parent meeting at your local Down syndrome organization. And so no one may ever know that you did that.
Right.
No one may ever reshare it, but that's okay. And don't let social media make you feel like you're not being a good advocate if you don't have X amount of followers, because comparison is a trap, and you'll never, ever, ever have enough followers, likes, comments. It's never any battle. And so just keep doing what you're doing. And if you sign up to become a Hope Advocate, even that is a great step of advocacy, because you're in our database, and you never know when you're going to get an email from us that a parent reached out. And so I just say all that to encourage you, do not fall into the social media trap, and know that you're making a difference, even if no one knows about it.
Yeah. And being a Hope Advocate, like, you're literally being handed a tool. You don't have to make anything. You just, you're given all of these tools to hand to somebody. And it's such a powerful act of advocacy. And a lot of the effort's been done for you. So that's awesome too. Yeah, thank you for that good word. Okay, we're going to wrap up the episode. We have a segment on our episode called Good News. If you can be thinking about some good news that you would want to share about Noah. So we're going to take a little break and we'll be back with some good news. And if you would like to share about Noah, we would love it. Guess what? I have a new children's book coming out August 9th. It is called Everyone Belongs, and it is a story about two sisters who create a show, and other people wonder, can they be a part of the show? And together they create a show where, you guessed it, everyone belongs. So it is available right this very moment for pre-order, and you can go anywhere you order books and pre-order it today. Every book pre-ordered helps in a huge way for the publishers to know if anyone's interested in this book. So if you're interested in this book, if you're excited to bring into your kids' life a book that teaches them that in fact everyone belongs, and you want that book in your kids' classrooms and all the spaces. Also, if you have not yet done it, today is the last day for the pre-order promo for my book, and my publisher is offering a promo right now, and we'll have a link here for you to go and fill it out, or you can go on my social media, they'll keep you official. But they are, if you pre-order 2 copies of Everyone Belongs, they will send you a copy of Different, A Great Thing to Be, my first children's book, which is a New York Times bestseller, for free. So that's 3 books for the price of 1. Make sure that you head over to that link and do that today, because tomorrow's the last day. You can also go to heatheravis.com/everyonebelongs to learn more.
Time for good news, time for good news. Everybody, welcome to the good news. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we are back. Time for some good news. Rick, do you have some good news about Noah?
Yeah. I will say the good news is literally right now, Noah is at a jump park in our neighborhood. With some friends from our church. Our church has a really cool, they have a great program to help kids like Noah be included. He's out with a bunch of his peers at a trampoline place, totally without his mom or dad. And so I think the good news is just that Noah is really celebrated and loved and included in our community. And we don't have to fight really hard for it, that he just has a great group of friends who love him and include him. And so we're really proud of his friends and proud of him for being a part of our community.
Love it. I love that. Okay. I have some good news to share about Macy with Macy involved. So she's in middle school. Middle school is just a hard time of life for a lot of that age. It's just hard. And then coming out of COVID, it's elementary school, you're connected with parents. I don't know anyone on her campus. I don't know her peers. I don't know anybody. It's a weird thing to navigate as a parent for the first time. But she has these people she talks about. And so I said, why don't we just write she doesn't have a phone. Why don't we just write my name and number down, and then they can reach out. They can text me or email me. And we did 5 or 6 cards she passed out to these friends at school. And I just think, please someone call. I don't know who you are. I don't even know what you look like, but Macy, you're important to Macy. And last week I got a text from a mom that said, hey, I'm so-and-so's mom. I just saw the little card on his desk and he talks about Macy all the time. I think they eat lunch together a lot and he'd love to get together. So
wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, which is great. So I told Macy that we're still not in summer yet, but, and Macy's just ecstatic about hanging out with this particular friend. So that felt like big, good news.
That's awesome news. What a cool thing with the cards. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. That's what we got here today, Rick. Thank you so much for joining us and for all you're doing for the Down syndrome community. This is really great. And happy Father's Day very soon.
Thank you. And by the way, we're going to release this before National Down Syndrome Congress. And so if you're there, Hope Story is going to have a booth. Come by and say hi. I know the Lucky Few podcast is going to have a booth. So stop by their booth and say hi. But we will be there in New Orleans. So come by and say what's up.
That's right. We're going to be seeing each other in person in just a couple weeks. So very cool. Thanks again, Rick.
Yeah, thank you.
And take care. And a very happy Father's Day to all of you who hold that title. And we're wrapping it up. Thank you, Josh Avis, for editing this episode, and to Val Schleter for producing it. If you liked this episode, share it with family and friends. And don't forget to subscribe. Follow along on Instagram at The Lucky Few Pod. You can leave comments and messages there. You can share your good news in our direct messages or on any one of our posts. You can head to theluckyfewpodcast.com for all the show notes that you'll need and for links to Hope Story and to NoahsDad.com. And then don't forget, dear sweet listener, that you're slaying it. You're doing such a great job. We here at the podcast love you very much, and we are cheering you on. Can't wait to be together for another episode next week. Bye.